1937, Samuel Caldwell was the first person arrested for marijuana in the United States. In 2008, the 20 millionth person was arrested for marijuana in the United States. After 71 years of this failed prohibitionist policy,
it's time to say
enough and demand a change. Normal is calling on you to help spread the word, and in doing so, you could win $2,500 in our 2008 Pro Cannabis Law Reform Ad Contest. Just create a 30 or 60 second video or flash animation explaining why we need to end adult marijuana prohibition. Theme ideas, examples from past contests, and the contest rules are all available at normal.org. Just look for the Pro Cannabis Ad Contest banner. You could win your share of $10,000 in prizes, and the grand prize $2,500 winner will be featured in upcoming Normal web and television campaigns. Join our Pro Cannabis Ad Contest today. Deadline for entries is January 15th, 2009. It's Friday, November 14th, 2008, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. And continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers. Welcome to the podcast and welcome to the weekend. We made it through another week, and boy, those holidays are quickly approaching, so you better get those harvests in and get your presents ready for everybody. I've actually got a few presents for you. If you're so interested, you can check out the newest videos that have been posted to the National Normal YouTube channel at youtube.com/NATLNORML, National Normal, and you can find the latest videos from the Normal Conference that took place in October in Berkeley, California. This is the panel on how the media lie about cannabis, and it featured Normal's Deputy Director, Paul Armentano, Bruce Merkin, the Communications Director for Marijuana Policy Project, independent journalist Ann Harrison, and was moderated by Richard Cowan, a former executive director of Normal and the founder of MarijuanaNews.com. Oh yes, and yours truly was there as well, and I'm bringing you my presentation, or part of it, from that panel, a discussion on how the media frames the cannabis issue. You can catch that at the end of the podcast, or again, check out National Normal's YouTube channel, youtube.com/NATLNORML. Also, of course, on this Friday, we will have our regular cannabis entertainment news segment with celebstoner.com Steve Bloom, who's got the most interesting tale to tell, I guess that's one way to put it, about a New Jersey councilman who is a Grateful Dead fan and his unfortunate incident at a recent Dark Star Orchestra show. So stay tuned for that, as well as our regular musical break brought to you by my brother, Less Than Radical Josh. It's going to be quite the weekend, so we better really load up this time. Get yourself a bomber and one of those flamethrower lighters. It's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Normal's Paul Armentano writes on the Normal blog that the CDC says fewer Americans are smoking cigarettes than ever. According to a report released today by the Centers for Disease Control, fewer Americans are smoking cigarettes than at any time in modern history. Reuters reported, quote, "The number of U.S. adults who smoke has dropped below 20% for the first time on record," end quote. This is less than half the percentage, 42%, of Americans who smoked cigarettes during the 1960s. "Imagine that," Armentano writes. "In the past 40 years, tens of millions of Americans have voluntarily quit smoking a legal, yet highly addictive intoxicant. Many others have refused to initiate the habit. And they've all made this decision without ever once being threatened with criminal prosecution and arrest, imprisonment, probation, and drug testing." By contrast, during this same period of time, he continues, state and local police have arrested some 20 million Americans for pot law violations, primarily for violations no greater than simple possession. And yet, marijuana use among the public has skyrocketed. There's a lesson to be learned here, if only our lawmakers were willing to listen. Manitoba hemp market so lucrative, company moves to 20,000 square foot facility. A press release from Manitoba Harvest. The market for hemp products in North America is expanding rapidly, and industry leader Manitoba Harvest Hemp Foods and Oils is staying ahead of the curve by expanding their operations. Manitoba Harvest at www.manitobaharvest.com is in the process of moving to their new state-of-the-art organic facility in Winnipeg. The 20,000-square-foot food processing facility will increase their production capacity by more than 500%. Consumer demand for hemp foods was virtually non-existent in 1998 when 22-year-old Mike Fatah began processing oil from nutritious hemp seeds and selling it to local health food stores in Winnipeg. Now, Manitoba Harvest, the company he started with two friends, has emerged as an entrepreneurial success in Canada, employing 28 people and on track to surpass $5 million in sales for 2008. Manitoba Harvest recently earned a spot in the 20th annual Profit 100 ranking of Canada's fastest-growing companies by Profit magazine due to their explosive sales growth of 453% from 2002 to 2007. Manitoba Harvest makes premium hemp food products, including organic hemp seed oil, shelled hemp seed butter, a line of hemp protein powders, and their new award-winning Hemp Bliss organic hemp milk. The company also sells hemp ingredients to a growing number of food and cosmetic companies that make waffles, bread, frozen desserts, cookies, pasta, salad dressings, protein powders, energy bars, and sauces. Fatah says, quote, "Food that offer omega-3 essential fatty acids like hemp are hot because medical evidence touting the health benefits continues to grow," end quote. Hemp foods are also a nutritious source of protein, fiber, vitamins, and minerals. Fatah continues, quote,
People are learning that hemp is a nutritional powerhouse, and it has a great flavor and gourmet appeal, end quote. And now, in other news here in the United States, non-farm payroll employment fell by 240,000 in October, and the unemployment rate rose from 6.1 to 6.5%, the Bureau of Labor Statistics of the U.S. Department of Labor reported today. October's drop in payroll employment followed declines of 127,000 in August and 284,000 in September, as revised. Employment has fallen by 1.2 million jobs in the first 10 months of 2008. Over half of the decrease has occurred in the past 3 months. In October, job losses continued in manufacturing, construction, and several service-providing industries. I'm not saying legalizing hemp production in America could make up for 1.2 million lost jobs, but certainly we could use a few environmentally friendly small businesses employing people in the hemp industry. Switzerland's liberal drugs policy to be decided at polls, from swissinfo.ch. Cannabis and heroin are once again high on the agenda as the campaign ahead of a nationwide vote on Switzerland's drugs policy gathers pace. 45% of respondents in the poll said they would vote for decriminalization, while 42% came out against. The People's Initiative foresees the legalization of psychoactive hemp for personal consumption, while the trade and cultivation of hemp would be subject to state control. The state would also have to ensure that minors don't have access to cannabis products. It will be the third ballot on drugs in just over a decade. In 1998, voters rejected a proposal to decriminalize cannabis just 1 year after they turned down a call at the other end of the scale to introduce a restrictive drugs policy based on abstinence. Drugs experts are pleading that cannabis consumption should be considered in a wider context. They say, quote, "A majority of the government advisory committee stands by its conclusions from 1999 to find a system regulating access to cannabis products," end quote. Governments around the world are coming to the same conclusions, that cannabis isn't the social harm it's been made out to be, that lots of people like to buy and use cannabis, and that a system of regulation would better control the market for cannabis while eliminating prohibitionary harms. Will the United States, during this incoming administration, get on board with the rest of the world? One of the points made in the article by a member of the parliament was that Switzerland is a signatory to global anti-cannabis treaties, treaties that were pushed through the United Nations by the United States. We are going to have to lead the world in ending cannabis prohibition, because much of the world prohibits cannabis because of us. British police issue warning over cannabis laced with cocaine. Police in Leeds are warning people to be aware that small amounts of cannabis are being sold in the city laced with crack cocaine. The 5-pound amounts are known as Mach 5s and are sprinkled with a small amount of crack cocaine, making them more addictive and dangerous to users. Police believe a number of those buying cannabis are unaware of crack cocaine being mixed into amounts of the Class C drug. Neighborhood policing team Inspector Andrew Briggs said, quote, "We have become aware that dealers are trying to introduce cannabis users to harder drugs by lacing small amounts of cannabis with crack cocaine. Using any drugs obviously poses a substantial risk to health, but the practice of introducing a highly addictive Class A drug to people under the pretext of dealing a small amount of cannabis is an extremely dangerous precedent. There is no quality control when using illegal drugs, and the bottom line is that people are never truly aware of what is contained in any drugs they are taking," end quote. Which is exactly why we are calling for the regulation of cannabis for responsible use by adults. You don't find whiskey in the liquor store spiked with cocaine, do you? No. The gateway you drug warriors have always been talking about is the gateway to the drug dealer you get your cannabis from, who also has other drugs for sale.
I'm Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. Have you heard about the new super pot that's supposedly 20 times more potent than your father's Woodstock weed? Don't believe the hype. Marijuana's THC potency has always varied, even in the 60s and 70s. And the drugs in its numbers are full of, well, exaggerations. While no intoxicant is harmless, cannabis is non-toxic and far safer than alcohol. No matter how much you smoke, of whatever potency, you cannot die of a marijuana overdose. Potency is irrelevant anyway. More potent pot just means you smoke less of it, meaning less harmful smoke in your lungs. This is a prime example of harm reduction in action. Besides, the government already allows the prescription of THC pills. Its commercial brand name is Marinol, and it's 100% potent. Meanwhile, the federal government won't allow dying people to use natural marijuana, no matter what the potency. Does this make sense to you? Learn the facts about pot. Visit norml.org today.
Marijuana culture is infused throughout America and the world. As we round out the week, we take a look at the 420 phenomenon in movies, TV, music, and sports with former High Times editor and author of Pot Culture, Steve Bloom, in our CelebStoner.com entertainment news. We've made it once again to the end of the week, and that means it's time for our Celeb Stoner Marijuana Entertainment Report, whatever you want to call it, our weekly visit with Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com. And Steve, welcome back to the stash.
Hey, Russ, what's up?
Hey, not much. Just looking at all the stories at the website at CelebStoner.com, and one of the ones that I think is got to be the funniest here has to do with that guy in New Jersey out there?
Yeah.
The councilman. It's not exactly a marijuana story, but I think it's funny enough that we should tell the listeners about it. So why don't you?
It ties into the marijuana community because of the band Dark Store Orchestra is the focus of this incident. Most people out there probably know Dark Store Orchestra, or a Grateful Dead cover band, and they're famous for doing individual Grateful Dead shows, say a show from 1972 on a given night, and they'll do the complete show. They're very popular. They're probably the most popular Grateful Dead cover band out there these days. And so they had a show last Friday night in Washington, D.C., and the show was attended by Steve Lipsky, who's a New Jersey councilman from Jersey City, New Jersey. And Steve is a former deadhead or a current deadhead. I mean, I guess you could still be a current deadhead even, you know, with the dead sort of reuniting. But, you know, he's a guy who, you know, went to a lot of Grateful Dead shows and has taken, you know, to going to a lot of Dark Star Orchestra shows. They're pretty familiar with him at the shows. He's always in the front row or whatever. So, a Friday night show, Steve, did something very bad. He was on the balcony, and it was kind of early into the show, only around 9:45, when he, what can you say, he took out his penis, and he started spraying the crowd with urine.
He peed on the crowd.
Right? It's pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
And he was swiftly, you know, removed and arrested.
I would hope so.
And, you know, there wasn't really any doubt, you know, among the people in the crowd that this is what occurred. However, jeez, he has pled not guilty by the advice of his lawyer not to admit anything.
Uh-huh.
And they're trying to say, oh, it was just a beer that fell over. However, one of the reports of one of the people in the crowd who was victimized said that you could see his manhood in his hand, a long arc, a stream of urine coming out into the crowd.
Oh, my God.
Sorry to have to put all this out here on your lovely show. And so he was arrested, and the band, you know, is obviously kind of livid about this whole thing. I mean, he was a big supporter of the band. He's always on the band's website, you know, writing, you know, stuff on the forums. And Rob Eaton, the guitarist, said he's a disgrace to the community, and fans like you we don't need. This was a post up on their website. And then Matt Reynolds, who's their road manager, went into a little more detail, because I know Matt, and sent a query to him to just fill us in a little bit. So he said Steve Lipsky is a guy who would always be with his wife on the front row at our shows, singing along and having a great time. I don't recall ever having a problem with Steve before this incident. In fact, I couldn't tell you if I ever witnessed him taking a single drink. I'll get back to the drink in a second. He was always very generous when it came to bringing the band gifts or inviting us out to dinner, and he was always pitched in when it came to canned food drives or other benefits in which the band was involved. I always considered him one of Dark Star Orchestra's most loyal and devoted fans. When I first heard about the incident and who was guilty party, I was speechless. I couldn't believe that he would compromise his position in his political life and in the community of his friends and fellow fans. I've heard from some folks who are actually in the line of fire and have been able to forgive Steve, even offering their support. To the best of my knowledge, no one was seriously injured or hurt, and for that we are all thankful. I wish Steve the best of luck on his road to recovery. The other point of this is that Steve Lipsky has apologized, although he hasn't admitted anything. And in his apology, he said, "I am an alcoholic, but I have not drunk for 2 years. I fell off the wagon, flipped, crashed, burned, whatever one wants to label it. I screwed up." He screwed up before. This councilman has a DUI on his record from 2006, and this again happened when he was attending a Dark Star Orchestra show in Western Pennsylvania.
Wow.
He was pulled over for DUI, reckless driving, driving on a sidewalk, recklessly endangering another person, careless driving, and disregarding a traffic lane. So, you know, Steve goes a little wild when he's drinking, apparently, and he, you know, fell off the wagon. So he's basically blaming it all on alcohol, even though he's not admitting to what he did. And the final part to the story, Matt Reynolds wanted to make an additional statement I think is more appropriate. As you said, this wasn't really a marijuana story directly, but when you think about the efforts of SAFER, for instance, mm-hmm. in Colorado, where they're constantly making the point that alcohol is much, you know, is so much worse for you than marijuana will
yeah.
ever be, and that marijuana should be legal and there should be more restrictions on alcohol abuse. Matt said, "It's very disappointing that our country is still hung up on spending billions of dollars to keep drugs like marijuana and hash illegal, while drugs such as alcohol and prescription pain medicine are legally accepted methods for destroying lives and careers every day." And here's an example, although Steve Lipsky's career has not been quite destroyed, you know, he's been, you know, seriously embarrassed,
yeah.
and, you know, and he's facing a charge of simple assault for, you know, what he did.
Yeah, I can't even imagine what the trial might be like. Do they call in CSI?
To behave this way, I mean, you know, alcohol means that you could, you know, pull down your fly and whip it out.
Yeah,
and start spraying, you know, your fellow fans. It's just so disgusting, absurd.
Well, you know, and people might think that's, you know, a rare occurrence or something like that. But before I found cannabis, I was quite the drinker myself and hung out with some pretty heavy drinking guys. And I've known a couple of guys who've come home after a bender like that and, you know, done something quite similar. So yeah, it doesn't sound
social, in a social crowd. You mean?
Well, not on a crowd, but you know, like, you know, in a house and be in the wrong room, let's say.
Just
and,
do something, you know, kind of foul, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's just, you know,
let's just say that alcohol tends to bring out the worst of us and marijuana brings out the best.
I think we can agree to that. Now, speaking of marijuana and bringing out the best or the worst of us, marijuana always seems to bring the worst out in the drug czar and their continued propaganda campaign. I noticed that you had picked up on the same ad campaign I'd noticed, the Jobs for Potheads ad campaign that's out there. Boy, what do you think about that?
Well, thanks to you and the stash, because I noticed it, you know, on your site, and we just sort of decided to, you know, basically piggyback off of what you and a few other websites have been doing. What's kind of most interesting I'm finding about this ad campaign, this latest partnership for Drug Free America, White House, Office of National Control Drug Policy, a campaign against marijuana, and it could be its last, you know,
yeah.
one of its last, you know, to sort of, you know, take this approach. They're sort of, you know, they're trying to have fun, you know, and they're trying to tell people out there, you know, another reason why you shouldn't smoke marijuana, that there aren't good jobs, many jobs out there for potheads. But lo and behold, they decided that there are a few jobs out there that you may consider, you know, maybe send on your resume to be a burrito taster or perhaps,
yeah.
you know, a TV remote control operator or even a couch security guard. Like, hey, it's like so funny I forgot to laugh.
Yeah.
But this is their sense of humor, and they think it's quite funny. And, you know, of course, I mean, I don't know, they seem to leave out ice cream scooper.
Yeah, yeah.
Pizza slicer, Dorito bag handler. I mean, come on, they could have even more, you know.
Well, what about bong maker? I mean, come on.
There's all kinds of, you know, I mean, of course, if we're serious, we could say a pot tender.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But anyway, it's just, it's such another ludicrous effort you know, by the government to steer people away from marijuana. And I'm just hoping that this is, you know, we're going to start seeing less and less and less, and, you know, it'll be pushed aside that this is not going to be the way the government's going to operate when it comes to the drug war. But, you know, it's just what's interesting is that it sparked a one particular website called The Agitator, which is associated to Reason.com. They've posted one particular story called Successful Pot Smokers, Let's Make a List, and there have been 400 comments. Mm-hmm. I wish people would comment like that on Celeb Stoner, but, you know, more power to The Agitator to get so many people to come to their site listing names of people and things you can do as a marijuana smoker, you know, realistically, you know, as far as work prospects and stuff. And so it's kind of set off a great discussion. So, you know, the backlash against this ad, you know, you see something kind of good come out of it, that, you know, people respond to it, you know, in a positive way.
Yeah, and you know, what I would think, too, is just the existence of the website celebstoner.com and all of these very, very successful entertainment people that that seem to endorse cannabis use, you know, it's an argument that falls flat on its face with any serious
interest. Well, we might even argue that, you know, the job of the President of the United States,
yeah,
you know, is a job for a pothead.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, Steve, thanks, man. It's always great talking to you on Fridays here for the celebstoner.com Entertainment Report.
Thanks again, Russ.
Just say no.
No matter what you call it, it's a huge part of popular culture.
Where'd you learn that, Cheech? Drug school.
You don't need weed school. You just need a copy of the new book, Pot Culture, The A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life.
Hey, this is great, man.
Even if you never smoked marijuana.
I never used marijuana. Sorry.
Don't think you smoked marijuana.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two and didn't inhale.
Or you used to smoke marijuana.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Pot Culture by former High Times editor Steve Bloom and Shirley Halperin will answer every question you ever had about marijuana culture.
Has that marijuana made it back up here yet?
Check out Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life at Amazon.com or visit PotCultureBook.com today.
Too bad, man. I just stopped smoking yesterday.
Here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash, we work hard to change our nation's marijuana laws through education and discussion. But we also take time to relax and unwind with an eclectic mix of pod-safe music from many independent artists. We look for music that speaks to the growing truth about cannabis, or music that speaks to broader themes of freedom, liberty, social justice, equality, and protest. To find out more about the artists and download the music you hear on this podcast, just log on to stash.normal.org. And if you'd like to get your music heard by the online cannabis community, just send us an email at stash@normal.org.
Thank your major deity or preferred philosopher of choice, because it's Friday, Stashers. Today's music for the weekend is a familiar time for you all, a time legendary to everyone who has ever smoked pot ever in their lifetime, or has a friend who smokes pot, or has ever watched a television show or movie where pot is referenced at all. I, of course, am talking about 8:06 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Just kidding. I'm talking about 4:20, obviously. I may not be a huge smoker, but I'm not stupid either. Big Fellas is a San Diego-based band whose influences include Ben Folds 5, Steely Dan, They Might Be Giants, and Warren Zevon. If that's not an eclectic mix of bands, I don't know what is. But the beautiful thing is that you can hear every influence in their album, Chubbed Up, which was released just this past October. They also get the honor of being the first band who has ever sent me a promo CD. I feel like a real music director now. I get promos and press kits, yeah! But seriously, having listened to Big Fella's entire album, I can definitely recommend it. It's a lovely blend of classic pop sensibilities with a little bit of classic and piano rock thrown in. My only nitpick is that their song, 420, is not actually 4 minutes and 20 seconds long. But I'm weird like that. You can listen to more of Big Fella's on their MySpace page or check out their website, both of which are linked at stash.normal.org. I highly recommend checking out their album. The more I listen to it, the more I love it. And if you have music you want to be featured on The Stash, you can send it to me at normalsafemusic@gmail.com. We also have a MySpace page, which you should definitely friend if you want to find out more about the artists we play here. Now, have a great weekend, and here's Big Fellas with 420.
Little way, just like drinking games of casual. Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Our next speaker, sometimes known as Radical Russ because he's almost as radical as I am. He also does Normal's podcast and has his own program on XM Satellite Radio, which is about as high as you get, even at a Normal conference. And so let's see, Russell, if you can be more radical than more.
I'll do what I can. All right, hello everybody. Like you said, my name is Radical Russ Belleville, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Glad to have you all here. As you said, I am the podcast producer and blogger for Normal at stash.normal.org. I have a political talk radio show on XM Satellite every Saturday, 3 to 5 Eastern. And I'm also on the Oregon Normal Board of Directors. I'm associate director, and I host our bi-monthly TV show. So, so much for amotivational syndrome. What I want to talk about here, Paul Montana did a fabulous job, and one of the great things I get to do in this podcast job for Normal is talk to the smartest, most well-educated people in marijuana law reform in the country. And I've spoken with Richard on the podcast, and Paul many times, and Bruce many times. And we haven't spoken yet, but we will. I guarantee that. But I've learned so much in this time about how this all works. And while Paul talked to you about how the media lie about cannabis, I want to talk about why. Why do they choose to lie about cannabis? What's in it for them to make these stories and assertions that they make? So, first of all, Paul brought you some headlines. I want to just kind of, you know, set this up by showing you a few other headlines that I culled from my daily audio stash, Reefer Madness headlines. I have a feature called Reefer Madness where I take the stupidest thing they say and try to, you know, use some sarcasm on it. So here's our, you know, with apologies to Dave Letterman. Number 10, the Not Your Mother's Reefer story. This has been a big thing going on in the headlines, especially when we start looking in the UK as well, where it's, you know, it's pop 2.0. It's worse than your father's Woodstock weed. Hey, I saw the clothes you guys were wearing back then. It couldn't be that much worse. Number 9, marijuana grown indoors can sicken. Now, this was a story that came out about people growing medical marijuana and maybe using pesticides or, you know, bad stuff on it. And, well, yeah, that's possible, but the headline doesn't tell you that. They just say, oh, if you grow it inside, that's bad. My number 8 one, medical marijuana can cause a range of adverse effects, say researchers. Some of these adverse effects included such detrimental things to your health like dry mouth and sometimes forgetfulness while you're high. You know, Dr. Earlywine and I talked about this, like if that's your adverse effects, then, you know, no other medicine out there can be that low on the adverse effects compared to cannabis. Teen marijuana use linked to later illness. This is a continuing thing that's going on about, you know, if the adolescents use pot, they're going to go psycho. They're going to go schizo. They're going to go crazy. Because, you know, after the summer of love, there was that huge spike in schizophrenia. Oh, yeah, there wasn't. This one's for Lauren. Police. Pot smoking event at the UCSC Meadow. A moral slap in the face. How dare you smoke pot in public? Number 5, heavy marijuana use shrinks brain parts. Well, at least it doesn't shrink anything else. This one, I love this one, an attempt at not only a pun, but a French pun. Being French, I like this one. Marijuana's coup de grace to memory. And I think they were trying to make fun of coup de gras, But coup de grace is spelled grace, G-R-A-C-E in French. Coup de grace means the killing blow. You know, when people were getting executed, if they were not dead, the executioner would give the coup de grace, the killing blow. They're making a pun on coup de grace, like G-R-A-S, which is like foie gras.
Yeah.
So, like, what, a blow of fat. Number three, this is a good one. Black girls using marijuana prone to riskier sex and higher STD rates.
Not white girls.
Not white girls, just black girls. For some reason, I am not sure why. Number two, oral sex and marijuana use is linked to throat cancer. If anyone's willing to fund the research on this, I am glad to participate. And this one from the UK, cannabis smoking mum stabbed herself to death. Okay, so those, that gives you an idea. So why? Why would the media want to portray some of these things that obviously anybody with any knowledge, like you folks out there, are going to laugh at? These are just, this is comedy. This isn't news reporting. Well, this gets into, you know, why these make such an impact. And part of it is an idea of framing. And I'm going to get into this in the next slide, but George Lakoff, who's a great political scientist, wrote a book and talked about framing. And the idea of framing is that words don't necessarily mean what words say. Words mean what the context of the word has engendered over time. And so the Reefer Madness headlines, the reason they hit so easily is because they already fit a predefined narrative about us cannabis consumers. It's been established since the Anslinger and Hearst headlines of the 1930s. And that's marijuana is a dangerous drug, and the people who use it are dirty, irresponsible, rebellious, immature, promiscuous, slacker losers who are slowly destroying their bodies and minds and are only motivated by their selfish desire to get high and are recklessly, I tell you, lying to our children in order to get them hooked on heroin. That's the narrative. That's the basic media narrative. That's the idea of what cannabis consumers are. Maybe not all of that, but, you know, a lot of those you hear in these headlines. So as I get to this, I want to talk about media bias. Why does the media do this? And a lot of times, they, you know, especially on the right, they'll say, oh, it's the liberal media. The liberal media, the media is liberal. You know, those media corporations like General Electric and, you know, Westinghouse and Columbia, these big corporations are liberal. There is no liberal media bias. Media is a ratings-driven for-profit business. If they can make money on it, they're going to promote that. If it bleeds, it leads. You've heard that with the local news stories. If there's a wreck, you know, conflict and danger, sell. Also, media are lazy. These guys have deadlines to make. They've got to get their story turned in, and they're going to go for what's easiest. What's the easiest story I can get out there? And then, of course, the Mr. Mackey line, go to bed at night, right? It's already, this is a set storyline, so if, and rarely, like Paul brought up, rarely do we get two sides to the story, but if there are two sides to the story, they're labeled as anti-drug and pro-drug. We're pro-drug, right? It's that same old media line between, you know, when people talk about pro-life versus pro-choice. The pro-life people will call the pro-choice people pro-abortion. Nobody's pro-abortion, right? We're not pro-drug. We are pro-drug reform, pro-drug law reform, pro-harm reduction, pro, you know, intelligent discussion of the issue. We're not necessarily pro-drug. And the other thing, especially when you're talking to local news, is they usually have that six on your side. We're on your side. We're going to protect you and your kids. So they're always going to come with some scare story, you know, the latest danger from marijuana that you need to know about for your kids, right after this commercial. But I think I have that hook to get you to come back after you watch the commercials. So one of the ideas behind this, again, I talked about framing, and George Lakoff wrote a book. Now, everybody clear your minds for just a second. Think of nothing. Now, don't think of an elephant. And what did you just think of? An elephant. The idea behind framing is that, and what Lakoff says in this Don't Think of an Elephant book, is that by negating a frame, by mentioning a frame, by playing in the playground that your opponent set up for you, you've already done their work for them. Right? If you approach the drug reform issue in their terms, half their battle's won. And the idea of don't think of an elephant is, if I'm trying to not make you think of an elephant, I don't say, don't think of an elephant, I say, think of a rhinoceros. You're not going to think of an elephant if I say, think of a rhinoceros. So, go away, elephant. Every word evokes a frame. Okay, so when you have words, like when I say elephant, what are some of the things you think of when you hear elephant?
Republican.
Republican. Dumb. Memories. right? And the elephant never forgets, that kind of thing. Circus animals, circus, big, right? Also Africa, right? All sorts of things that get brought to your mind by the innocent little word elephant, which really all the word elephant means is pachyderm, big mammal. But yet we thought of Africa, we thought of memory, we thought of Republicans. That's what framing's about. Marijuana is that kind of frame. Let me get into this a little bit more. When people hear the word marijuana, it's already got a frame. Loser, slacker, Cheech and Chong. What a drug, right? Marijuana has that frame. Words defined within the frame evoke the frame. If I say, the patient smoked a joint, the word joint evokes marijuana. The word marijuana evokes drugs, slacker, loser, hippie, dirty, awful, 60s, whatever. And I'm not saying these are bad things on our point of view. I'm just saying this is what the general public hears. Negating a frame evokes the frame. If we try to say something, marijuana is not as bad as people say it is, you just evoke the marijuana frame. You just brought that up. You just served it up on a platter for our opponents. Even when we say it's not bad, we are giving credence to the idea that it might be bad and we have to oppose that. And then finally, evoking the frame reinforces the frame. Every time you say the word marijuana or something like that, it helps to evoke the frame. So, what are we going to do about it? Because obviously, after, Normal's been in business 37, 38 years, and we've been fighting prohibition since 1937 and such, so we know the truth, and so far the truth hasn't set us free. And the reason why is because no matter how true the truth is, if it doesn't fit the frame, the truth doesn't come across the way we would expect it to. Like, we're very proud, you're not proud, but we're often saying, there were 872,000 marijuana arrests. Isn't that awful? But in the frame of the average person hearing about marijuana, they say, well, marijuana's dangerous. It's not pot, it's pot 2.0. It's 20 times more dangerous than the 60s grass. So that's good that we arrested more people because marijuana's bad, okay? We spend $7.7 billion, federal and state, on enforcement costs. But within the frame of marijuana being bad, people just hear, well, if it's going to ruin our children's lives, we can't spend enough on it. 25 million people annually consuming marijuana. And we say, there's 25 million of us doing it, so, you're obviously not stopping anyone. And they'll just say, oh, well, there's 25 million people that are irresponsible slackers that are hurting productivity. We come and say, well, there's numerous medical benefits. Paul's written the emerging clinical applications for cannabis and cannabinoids, all these great medical benefits. People will hear, oh, well, that medical marijuana, that's a sham. Yeah, sure, some people need it, but, most of them are faking it just so they can get high. That's the frame that we're fighting against. And finally, we come up and we say, well, nobody's ever died from marijuana. Zero deaths from overdose. They'll say, so what? Marijuana's bad. You don't have to die from something for it to be bad. So how do we fight against this when the truth that we have on the left side column isn't going to help us? Well, think of cannabis as a candidate. Imagine you're running a political campaign and you're trying to get cannabis elected to an office. How would you position your candidate? How would you make that candidate shine? And so we got to think, when we talk about electing candidates, there's a kind of a Johari window they draw, four things. And the first one is the story that you tell about yourself. How do we describe ourselves? We describe ourselves as ending prohibition. Government's lying. Marijuana's not dangerous. Marijuana's a medicine. What do we tell about them? Well, they're trying to keep prohibition. They're arresting marijuana users. They're harming patients. They're wasting tax dollars. They're creating violence. Then from the other side, we look at it from their point of view. The story they tell about themselves, which is they're fighting the drug war. They're the good guys. They're trying to end the problems with drugs. And then the story that they tell about us. We're legalizers. We're bad. We're going to hurt the kids. We're going to get hooked on heroin. So knowing this, what we always have to do in our messaging is to bring it back to the frames that we want. And my last point about this, this is a controversial one on my part. The stories we tell reinforce frames, and especially the medical marijuana story. Now, God bless medical marijuana. Great. It's wonderful that it has it. But it also sets up a frame that validates what the drug warriors have been saying. The drug warriors have been saying marijuana is deadly dangerous. And so we've got medical marijuana where if you go see a doctor and you get a card and you follow the law, then it's not dangerous, or at least it's okay. We've validated the idea that it is so dangerous that you've got to have a doctor for it. Only people that have a doctor for it can possibly use it. So in a sense, we've kind of put ourselves in a bad corner there in a way, because now we have to say, well, yeah, we did say that it was medical and we have all these rules because it was dangerous, but now it's not really dangerous. Everybody should have it.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with another one of our cannabis quotes, and this one is a little bit of reefer madness that comes from Carlton Turner, who was the former drug czar under President Reagan, who said, quote,
"Marijuana leads to homosexuality and therefore to AIDS,"
end quote. Wow, it's amazing that you can get homophobia and reefer madness all in the same sentence, all at once. That's just amazing to me. Good luck to everybody out there that'll be protesting this Saturday against the Proposition 8 from California. Stand beside you in that fight, and remember that you got to stand up for the rights of everybody, or eventually nobody has any rights. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us here on the podcast. Have a great weekend. We'll be back next week with more news and interviews you can use for the cannabis community. And until that time, take care of each other, tokers.